Good morning, everyone, and it's nice to be with you this morning. Wherever you are, whenever you are, I'm glad you could be here. I'm glad you chose to join Unity of Wimberley for a little spiritual communion this morning. I'd just like to say that our lesson today requires us to revisit the very thing that brought us into new thought and into unity in the first place, which is that God's Spirit is within us, that each one of us is created with that divine spark built into us, in our DNA, and it is a paradox for us to embrace that belief. Because if we go back all the way to the creative urge, the creative spark, the alchemy, the chemical reactions that began the universe, that's how old God is. That's how multidimensional God is. And we use the word God only because it's easy. Only because to try to define God would be an explanation or a name that's too many words. And so we just use the word God to imply, to remind us of that creative spark that created everything. It's so grand, it's beyond our imagination. Our human brains cannot comprehend it. And yet, the paradox is that God is also in that breath. God is in the coursing of the blood through your veins, in the activity of your heart, all the electrochemical reactions that are going on in your body and brain all the time. God's there because God is the author of all. That also requires us to think of God as something other than a person. Even beyond, we use the word being, but being for humans implies some kind of embodiment. Well, there is an embodiment of God, and it's us. The embodiment of God is visible to us in all of the natural world, but it says that God's greatest act of love is to keep creating through us. And even that puts it in human terms. So I'm going to ask you just to expand and keep expanding all the time your definition of God, your experience of God, your understanding of God. So the power that we're talking about today is the power of strength. And those of you who've been around Unity for a while know that we talk about the 12 powers, which are 12 attributes that are part of our spiritual identity. But the more you study them, the more you see how they interact with each other, how they're interdependent with each other. So when we talk about strength as an attribute, we're talking about something that also has faith in it. It has wisdom in it. It has zeal or enthusiasm in it. It has understanding in it. Because just as the Daily Word said today, our bodies physically will sometimes not have the strength to continue on doing something that we've been doing. And so then we have our discernment, our understanding, so that we know when to rest. We know when to push. We know when to ask for help. So even when we lend our strength to another, we're looking at the healthy ways to do that. We're looking at the ways in which we do it without being depleted. And you see, we get the most tired, especially in our minds and in our behavior, when we think that we're doing it all by ourselves. That's our trap as human beings, to be fiercely independent, fiercely self-sufficient, fiercely fierce. When there is that dichotomy, that juxtaposition of strength and vulnerability, of being strong and being soft, of having the will, that's another power, to move through something, and the faith to know that we're going to survive it. So there are so many aspects to this idea of strength, and I just want to explore it a little bit. I'm going all the way back to the roots of our understanding. I came into Unity in 1987. I can't believe that that was all those many years ago, math. That was a place for me where what I was hearing resonated with something deep inside me that didn't even know that it was asleep. Something began to wake up. And that's why I've stayed with Unity longer than I've stayed with marriages and longer than I've stayed with anything. It has been a foundation that makes sense to me, and it never gets old. There's always something new to learn. Don't let that discourage you. Be a lifelong learner. The choice is to stop learning, and then you get brittle and dry, and somebody thumps you one day, and you shatter all to pieces. I'm a little bit hyperbolic here, but you get the idea. So I'm going to go back to this poem that was referenced in the Daily Word today because it's just such a beautiful piece of writing. So I'm going to read the whole poem to you today. It's by Hannah More Cohouse. Here's how it goes. God is my help in every need. God does my every hunger feed. God walks beside me, guides my way through every moment of this day. I now am wise. I now am true. Patient and kind and loving too. All things I am, can do, and be through Christ the truth that is in me. God is my health. I can't be sick. God is my strength, unfailing, quick. God is my all. I know no fear, since God and love and truth are here. So here's a little bit about Hannah More Cohouse. We don't have a thorough biography of her, but we know that this poem was a favorite of Myrtle Fillmore's. Myrtle Fillmore is the co-founder of Unity, along with her husband Charles. In fact, Hannah More Cohouse wrote to Myrtle in 1914 to share her gratitude that the poem had been shared in We Wisdom, the Unity monthly magazine for children. And she was, quote, pleased the children are being helped by the simple lines. Its 1914 publication was its second appearance in We Wisdom, and it was first printed in the August 1898 issue. We Wisdom is a sweet little magazine. If you remember the magazine Highlights for Kids, for Children, which I grew up with, this was the spiritual highlights. And it was discontinued when I was in ministerial school. And so when they closed that out, a bunch of us grabbed a bunch of the old copies of We Wisdom because they're so sweet and so perfect. So it goes all the way back to 1898. Later, this poem was included in the Unity song selections, and those of you that have been around for a while have seen the old red hymnals that we used to use, from 1941. It remains popular today, probably the most recited and beloved prayer to Unity congregations and members after only James Dillett Freeman's Prayer for Protection. More Cohouse is believed to have attended the Higher Thought Center in England, going on to lead the Science of Being Center, which became the Church of New Thought in 1904. In addition to the Prayer of Faith, she wrote these things: Between the Lines, Fruit from the Tree of Life, The Science of Sciences, and Remedies of the Great Physician, among other books. And one of the reasons I wanted to share Hannah More Cohouse's story with you is because I want you to, of course, realize that Unity has not been around as long as a lot of the other mainstream denominations. But 1898 was quite a while ago. And I think it's lovely. It's like when we read Shakespeare, or maybe something easier than Shakespeare, and we identify with the words as part of the human condition, part of the human journey. So this poem by Hannah More Cohouse is just as relevant today as it was when it was first published. And that it was published for children and yet speaks timelessly to adults, I think, is a magnificent gift. And so here's what we can take from this. One of the things that happened when New Thought was begun, way back in the late 1800s, was this idea that we were not victims. And it's still the idea, we are not victims to life. Things happen to us in life, for sure. But we are not bowed and broken by them. We might suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, just a little Shakespeare there, but we survive this. And the way that we do it is to draw upon everything that's already present in us. When you listen to these lessons, when you come to church, when you do something, when you go to your yoga group, when you go to a meditation group, whatever you do to enrich your spiritual life, and something in you leaps with joy, it is the awakening of something that was already there. And so our prayer sometimes is, God, give me strength. Probably more often than we'd care to admit. The truth is, God doesn't have to give us strength. We have to awaken to the strength that's already there. So when you listen to these lessons, when you come to church and something awakens in you, it's not because the church gave you something. The church is the laboratory. Your spiritual practice, whatever it is the laboratory for you to realize the awakened truth within you. And so whatever it is you're going through, there is a boundless source of everything that you need. This is very, very basic. And yet, we spend our whole lives in the pursuit of grasping it. Everything that we need is there. I have to tell you, on Friday, I had an extraordinary experience. It was the very first funeral that I've done in over 14 months. I attended my dad's graveside service in November. I went to a funeral for my brother-in-law last month. But I haven't officiated at a funeral in all this time. And so it was interesting to see how the funeral home that I was working with and the funeral director, we talked a little bit about what it's taken to have funerals in the time of a pandemic. And the woman for whom I was doing this service, it was a friend of a friend, and it was one of those things where we start to see where we connect here and there, and we start to realize that we're all one. We're 6 degrees or less away from each other, no matter what the connection is. This woman died at the age of 84. She was diagnosed with cancer and given 6 months to live in 2000. 21 years later, she finally left this life. When she was diagnosed with cancer, it was lung cancer, she was tending to her husband, who was already in the midst of his final journey with cancer. And so even as she was weak and going through her own treatments, she was faithfully caring for her husband. Now, there is a strength that's supernatural. And I'm not using that word in a woo-woo sense, although it can be kind of woo-woo. But because we consider some things natural in our lives, and when it goes beyond that, we consider it supernatural. She had the strength to care for her husband even in the midst of her own physical weakness. And that strength was ignited and magnified by her love for her husband. So there's strength and love working together. And then she determined, first of all, that she would show the doctors that they just might be wrong about that 6-month prognosis. She knew that she had grandchildren that she wanted to spend more time with. As a matter of fact, she had one grandchild that hadn't even made his appearance on the earth yet. And that sweet 12-year-old boy was one of her pallbearers. So she determined through faith, strength, will, love, perseverance, enthusiasm, zeal, all of those things, that she would stay here for a while. And beloved, what I would share with you, because we've suffered so many losses in this last year, close to us and globally, what we must remember is that the journey of a person on this earth into reaching then that final glory beyond this life is a very private arrangement between that person and God. It doesn't matter how death comes. And as a matter of fact, somebody close to me sent a meditation on death that is promoted by a Catholic nun who talks about the fact, it's called Memento Mori, which is remember your death. Remember that you're going to die. She has little skulls all around her as a reminder that this journey here, pardon me, in this body is finite. So you better live it. You know what it takes to live that life? Strength. Because we are going to encounter difficulties that make us feel like we can't make it. And yet, there is that which we call upon because it already lives here to reveal itself to us. So when we say, God, give me strength, just kind of switch that around a little bit to, okay, I'm acknowledging that God and strength are present. Oh, yeah, let it live through me. Let me be the vessel, the expression of strength, no matter what. I'm in the midst of moving right now. The Packers are coming on Tuesday, and they'll be there Wednesday and Thursday to get me moved into a new house. And my house is such a mess. Oh, my gosh. And I'm tired. I'm tired. My body, my physical body is tired. My brain is tired. When I'm not doing something about the move, my brain is figuring out what the next thing is going to be. And there is that in me when I kind of reach that phase. It says, you have a strength that's greater than you. Is now the time for you to just take a little break and rest? Disconnect your mind? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So that then I can approach the next task with renewed vigor. Till I run out again. You see, it's just a process. I've spoken to people this week that are facing some unthinkable challenges. Unthinkable. And one of the things that we've taught in Unity, maybe a little too oversimplified, is positive thinking. We've done that in New Thought. And it came out of the fact, as I go back again, what I said a while ago about starting in the late 1800s, people felt victimized by life. And so New Thought said, no, you have more power in your own life with God with you than you think you do. So wherever it is you're worshiping, whether you're Episcopalian or Catholic or whatever you are, whatever you're doing, know that there is more to this than just you. Know that there is more to this than the circumstances and experiences of life that seem to visit themselves upon you. And in the midst of that, the idea of positive thinking, the idea of using our minds to create our reality, was brand new. Kind of brand new. It really goes back to Plato, but it was kind of formalized with New Thought. Because it was a blend of science and spirituality and religion. But we can take those positive thinking lessons, those positive thinking affirmations, and we can really do malpractice on ourselves with that. And we can do it on other people too, sorry to say. So what we can do is not try to positive think our way out of a situation, but we can affirm whatever truth it is that we need to move through that situation. It is healthy for us. It is more sophisticated of us in our spirituality to acknowledge the truth of the situation that we're in. Yes, this is difficult. This is the truth that I'm facing. And it's not, I'm going to positive think this out of my life. I'm going to pray for miracles. God, give me a miracle. And that's where we leave it. And in our spirituality now, as it's evolved, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. It's possible. But some things are not probable. If you know someone who is in the process of dying, if you know someone who's going through an illness or a disease, pray for their healing. Don't get fixated on the cure. You understand? Because praying for their healing implies so much more than the cure. It implies peace in their journey. It implies their surrender. It implies their acceptance of what's available to them. It implies our acceptance of what's available to us. It allows us to be compassionate. It allows us to begin to eliminate our fear as we pray for healing. And just as we pray for healing for another, we're also praying for healing for ourselves. That's one of the most extreme examples I can think of. And so rather than saying to a person, I prayed for your healing, you're going to be well. They may not be cured. They will be well. But well has a great, huge definition to it. When we pray for things to move smoothly through someone's life, that is a good prayer to pray. And they will take that journey however they're going to take that journey. And our strength comes in letting them do it. Our strength comes in letting us do it. You know that if someone close to you is going through a challenge, going through an illness, that you're going to have stages of dealing with that that are going to look like anger and frustration and fatigue, exhaustion. So many human aspects to that. And yet, the reason that we bend and bend and bend and do not break is because we've got something greater than ourselves inspiring us, whispering to us in the night through our dreams. Beloved, here's another thing. Don't let your dreams scare you. Let your dreams be teachers. no matter what they're like. Let your dreams be teachers. And so we process all this stuff, but we process it through the strength and the power of God in us, the Christ. Now, do we pray affirmative prayers? Of course we do. Of course we do. I'm talking about a very subtle difference here. An affirmative prayer is a statement built from your deep belief of God's truth. And I'm going to call it that blind positive thinking is I'm going to slap a Band-Aid on this and make it all better. There's a whole lot of personal will in that. Do you see the difference? Am I kind of on track here, Kit? Kit's in the room to keep me honest. Because we love this. We love this work. We love these teachings. They serve us well. They get us through the impossibles of life. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about faith. Very basic. But today, it's about strength. It's not about muscle. Unless it's a spiritual muscle that is exercising your God-given inheritance to everything that is God. Exercise that rather than muscling through life. Do you see? Do you see that there's a quiet core strength in that? And that's what we're about. That's what this is about. So our affirmation today, again, was divine strength invigorates my body and quickens my mind. We don't use that word quickens a whole lot in modern English. But you get the idea. It opens things up. It lets ideas come through. It takes you in directions that you did not imagine. Because imagination is at work here as well. It invigorates my body and quickens my mind. So, beloved, my prayer for you today is to know strength. Know it. Live it. Be it. Ponder it. Rest with it. There's another paradox. Rest with strength. And if this lesson today has caused you to have more questions than answers, yay. Because that means that something inside you is being broken apart so that a greater truth can be revealed to you. And I say amen to that. Amen. And as we move into our meditation today, I'd like to share with you a reading that I have had for several weeks that I've been meaning to share with you. It kept disappearing, and when it reappeared this week, I thought, well, then it must be time. So I want to share this reading with you. It kind of pulls all of this together. It's called Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. So take a breath, let yourself relax into yourself, let yourself relax into God, and listen to these words, let them take you deeper. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. I love that line. The soft animal of your body. Tell me about despair yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clear blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. What a sweet love poem for you today. So think about that, the soft animal of your body. No matter what it's gone through, no matter what it's going through right now, just sink into it and let yourself embrace life and God. Breathe and breathe and breathe. That miraculous function of our body that somehow, some way, takes us into the deepest depths of our being. That breath feeds your body, it feeds the soft animal. It relaxes it. It gives it a space. And in that space, you meet your creator. You meet the stuff of the stars. And you meet your next breath. And you meet the next beat of your heart. And you meet the next challenge. And you meet the next unfolding of love in life. And today I'd like to use an image as well that is about light and strength. I'd like you to imagine that a great light, too bright for human eyes, is entering your body through the crown of your head. And it meets the energy that starts in the earth and comes up through the very root of you. And those two great lights and powers meet in you to strengthen you, to give you that solid core of the understanding of strength. And notice as you breathe, as you imagine that great light connecting you to heaven and earth, notice how your body straightens itself. Notice how you take on that strength as hope. How you take on that strength as renewal. How you take on that strength as courage. And beloved, you take on that strength as soft acceptance. Oh, you are healed today. Not only your mind, but your body is invigorated and quickened The storms of life cannot blow you down. Your sorrow and grief will not break you. For God's strength is yours. The strength of King David as a young boy. The strength of those ancient mothers in the Hebrew scripture who waited for their children to come. The strength of our master teacher, Jesus the Christ, who moved about his life's work with strength and humility, with gentleness and courage. All the way to the very end and beyond. And beloved, I open my eyes to you today, affirming the strength that lives in you. Here, take my hand. We'll be strong together. And if there's someone near you in your life where you can take their hand, and together, both of you are creating something greater than the sum of your two parts, we are so blessed, and we're so grateful. And so now we say thank you. Thank you, God, for creating me this way. Thank you for giving me these gifts that I'm just beginning to realize their fullness, and there is more yet to be revealed. Thank you. Thank you that I go through this day strengthened and renewed. For all this, for all of this, we affirm, and so it is, and so it is, and amen, amen.